Okay, today's daf is Kilayim Dav Lamed, and we are on the bottom of Chaf Tes Amabes as we continue here with the measurements of Kilay Zra'im, and we spoke in the Mishnah about rows amongst fields. We spoke earlier in the Masechta about fields next to each other. That was the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amabes back in the second parak, and parak Kol Sa'ah. We spoke about Tfua Bitfua. Fields of Tfua have to have a base rova separating them, which was about 10 amos. Yerek b'yerek, fields of Yerakos have to have 6 tfachim between them. If there's a hybrid, Tfua and Yerek, Yerek and Tfua, the Tanakhama said base rova. Rebbe Eliezer says it depends. If it's a Tfua field with a Yerek row, then 6 tfachim, and the other way he would agree, base rova. So we had in our Mishnah, what if one wants to plant one row of Yerek, right? The Mishnah said, Hayasadeus Rua Yerek, and you want to plant another row of Yerek? So how much do you need? Rabbi Shmuel seemed to say, you need a talem that goes all the way through, talem mefulash, and Rabbi doesn't say beferish there how wide. Rabbi Akiva says, 6 tvachim long and rochav miluo. What does that mean? So let's remember this machlokas because it's going to come up today. Rochav miluo, we said the rash means, that means the width is like the length, and therefore it's 6 tvachim wide. 6 tvachim long, 6 tvachim wide. The Rambam said, no, rochav kimiluo, the length is like its, the width is like its depth. And we'll see on today's Gemara, the Gemara seems to point in one of those directions. And therefore, according to the Rambam, it could be very small. Right? According to Rabbi Akiva, it could be very small. Rochav miluo, it doesn't have to be 6 tefachim wide. It could be half a tefach wide. If it's a half a tefach deep, it could be half a tefach wide. And Rabbi Yehuda says, rochav kimlo, rochav aparis, it has to be 1 tefach wide. 1 tefach wide, that was the width of the sole of a person. Rochav aparis, we'll see the remez in the pasuk and Bez Hashem on today's daf. So just remember those shitas for today. Again, Rabbi Shmuel said it's got to be all the way through, but then Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda, we thought, and Rabbi Shmuel, we said in yesterday's daf, the width of according to Rabbi Shmuel is probably like Rabbi Akiva. Right? That's what we said. There's no difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in terms of the width. That's what we said. Okay, so now we continue. Says the Gemara, Shmuel Amar. Second to last line. Shmuel Amar Chaf Tes Amabeis. Shmuel Amar Lo Shanu El Shura Achas. This whole heter that we have in our Mishnah is only if you're putting one row of Yerek amongst a field of Yerek. But Hashtayim Aser. But if you have two, then it would be Aser because that would be, says the Mara, fold up. Dinechshavos kimo sada yerek be yerek balihepsa, because then that would be looked at as two fields, right? A Yerek field within a Yerek field, and that would require more hefzik, more separation. That is Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Traveon Amri, Lo Shanya, Hiachas, Hishtayim. No, there's no difference. It could be one, it could be two, even more than one row. That is not considered a problem. Let's say this means, it's not clear, but let's say this means separate rows, not next to each other. Let's assume that's what it means for the next line that we're about to see. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish also says the following. Mutter lahavkia arba shuros babika. Many different pshatim, what exactly this line means, we'll go with Rav Chaim Kanievsky's pshat, who often has a smooth reading of the Gemara. Reish Lakish says, lahavkia can mean to break open. That means to plant in, break open and to plant in. One is allowed to plant four rows in a bika in an area in the valley. What does that mean, four rows? Says Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Bebika gedola shel tfua. If there is a large valley filled with grain, one could plant four rows of, so this is now Yerek in tfua. De ilu sada Yerek eitzel tfua tzorok laharkak beis rova. As we said, if you plant a row, plant a field of Yerek next to a field of tfua, as we just read in the Mishnah back in the second parak, one has to have a beis rova separation, but if you don't have a whole field, you have four rows. V'hacha dalet shuros akati lo chashivi sade. Four rows, it's not exactly called a field yet. V'shari yamyarchik v'tfachim. Right, one could have four tfachim separation. That's not called a field. A field to a field, that's still called a row. And a row, we said, 6 tefach. The Rav Chaim Kanievsky adds the efshar ode de shura achas aser. Maybe according to this opinion, one row of Yerik in the Tuo would be usser. V'hacha kivan dahavi dalat shura. It's only because it's for nikar kesad de la'atma v'shari. Or the op, it's like, you have to have a minimum and a maximum. So four would be, still be okay. It wouldn't be called a sada yet. But maybe you have to have four according to the shita because one wouldn't be enough, to be significant in itself. So that's the first line. Rish Lakish says, butu yalat have four rows. Amar Reb Yochanan u'buvad sheyu shtei shuros hachitzonos. Nidonos ka'aruga. As long as you have these four rows, as long as the two outer rows are each six tefach wide. That's what Nidonos ka'aruga means here. As long as each of the outer ones, see the picture there, Chaim Gnevsky has a picture, because that really creates a sense of separation. If the two outer ones are wider, the inner ones can be even thinner, even more narrow than six tefachim. That would be okay. Amar Zeira, and another limitation, Ubilvad Shlosha Betoch Shisha. But at least three of the six have to actually be planted. Have to actually be planted, or else it's too thin to be able considered something significant in itself. And the look at Chaim Gnevsky, Vashlosha mitoch shisha, aarugos hachitzonos koi, shetzorach sheyizra gimel mitoch vav. Right, out of those six tfachim in the outer rows, at least three of those six tfachim have to be planted in order to create significant areas to create the separation. Okay, so that's in terms of rows. The way Rav Chaim Gnevsky again says it, it's Yerek Eitzel Tevua, even though our Mishnah was just talking about Yerek in Yerek, but that's how he understands these lines of the Gemara. Reb Yehuda Marocha Vachulu. So now we get into the last line of our Mishnah. Reb Yehuda says, when you have a row of Yerek in a field of Yerek, you just need one tefach separation. Where does that one tefach come from? So, Amar Rav Huna, Taima, Rabbi Yehuda. And why does he say the one tefach in an unusual way? He says it's the width of a rochav haparsa, right? The size of a foot, of a shoe, of a sole. Because the pasuk says in Dvarim, v'hishkisa beraglecha kigan hayarak, and you shall water with your feet, meaning by walking around your field, you shall water it like you water a vegetable garden. So the Torah didn't have to say beraglecha. So that's alluding to the fact that next to every gan, you have to have at least enough space in order to walk with raglecha and water it. So that's the remez that the Gemara has from Rabbi Yehuda. He's based on that pasuk. This was already quoted in the Mishnayos, in the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos. V'kama hi shiur shel parsa tefach. And how wide is that? That is a tefach. If you look in Rashi there on that pasuk, people say that this is a bracha. This is a bracha relating to the land of Israel. The pasuk says in Parshas Ekev, ki aretz asher atav Hashem al rishta, the land that you are coming to inherit and live in. Lo keretz Mitzrayim hi, asher yitzasim misham. It's not like Egypt, where you came from, asher tizra es zaracha, that you planted your zera. V'hishkisa baraglacha kagan hayarak, and you shall water baraglacha kagan hayarak. V'yaretz asher atev ovrim shama l'rishta eretz harmu v'kos l'mtara shemayim tishtemayim. This is part of the pasuk that says you're going to water it, but it's rain. Rain is what makes this land grow. Eretz Asher Hashem Lokech Dereisho saw that it gets into the spiritual things as well. But what's the pasuk emphasizing? So Rashi says it's emphasizing a praise of Eretz Yisrael. Vishkisa Baraglacha. Eretz Mitzrayim Hayita Tzarech Lavi Mayim Inilus Baraglacha Ulashkosa. The land of Egypt does not rely on rain, it relies on the Nile. And therefore, in order to get to all the lands, all the places, you're going to have to irrigate. You're going to have to schlep up the water from the Nile and then go to all the places and water it. That's a tircha. V'tzorach atal l'nadin mishenascha v'lamol. You have to not sleep so much, and you have to work hard. V'hanamach shosev v'lo agavoa. And automatically, only the lower lands will drink, because that's close to the river, not the higher lands. V'yata ma'aleh ha'mayim v'hanamach l'gavoa. Rashi says, aval zu'a, but Eretz Yisrael, l'mtara v'shamayim tishtemayim. Ato yashin al mitascha, you sleep. V'kadosh baruch hu mashke namach v'gavoa. Galui v'she'eno galui ka'achas. That's what Rashi says on v'hishkisa baraglacha. It's a bracha. It's a bracha that it's going to, be watered by itself. Rashi also there quotes from the other Chazal, lo keres b'sraimi, ela tova heimena. This was already said earlier. Maybe it's amazing that they're thinking this. That they can be thinking this. Maybe they're thinking that the land of Mitzrayim is physically beautiful, even though they had a terrible time there. So maybe Hashem won't be taking us to a land so beautiful. Yachol bignus lakasim adaber v'chulu. But the Rashi obviously quotes Chazal that it is beautiful. One also might relate this, that it's a beautiful land, not only based on what Rashi says, that it is relies on the rain, and therefore you don't have to schlep up from the river, but Hashem will take care of it. But the fact that it relies on the rain, that itself creates a situation of a tzorach for tefillah. Right, a tzorach for tefillah. Right, that Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, we know the source for the six siddarim of Mishnah. The Gemara says, Amar Ish Lakish, Shabbos Lamed Aleph, Mai Dechsiv, V'haya Emunas Itecha Chosin Yeshua Schachmas Vadas, the Pasuk in Yishayahu. So we say every word in that Pasuk is a remez to another one of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So Emunas a Seder Zerayim. Emuna is Seder Zerayim. Rashi goes through with how every word relates to the Seder. How does Emuna relate to Seder Zerayim? Rashi, Sha'al Emunas Ha'adam Somech Lahafrish Maisrosav Karoi. So Rashi says it's talking about the Mitzvos Atzluyos Baretz, because you have to have Emuna in order to take off all of the Maisros and give it to the Kohen and give it, recognize that it's not all yours. You have to give it. So al emunas ha'adam somech lahafrish maisros of karai. And maybe we have emuna in terms of that people were mafrish and therefore we could buy from them, trusting that they took off the trumas and maisros properly. Okay, that's a one whole section. That's emunas haseder zrum. Itecha the seder moed. Right, Rashi doesn't even comment there on seder moed because itecha the times that is. That's Moe, Itecha. Chosen is a Seder Nashim, Rashi quotes. Chosen is a Lashon of Yerusha. Yeshua is a Seder Nezikin, salvations, because you save each other from Nezek. Okay, but Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. Emunah is a Seder Zerayim. Mefarish B'Yerushalmi, Shema'amin B'chai Ha'olamim V'Zoreya. Emunah Zerayim requires Emunah because you plant and then you hope. Because a farmer got to have a lot of Emunah because you need the rain. Without the rain, nothing's going to happen. Shema'amin b'chai ha'olamim v'zoreya. You believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zerayim and requiring rain makes us look up Shemayim. Makes us the need to have emunah. Right? That's rain. That's the being in a place with a river, there's not just a tzorach to daven, but being in a place with the rain, then for sure one has to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's also a praise of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because that's a gift. It's a gift. The ability to daven, the fact that we have needs, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make it automatic, and it rains, but it rains only based on what our actions are. So, and that's the Ramban. That's the Ramban recognizing that davening is a chesed, is an opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Remember that Ramban? That's on his comments on the Rambam's mitzvah saseh hey. The Rambam says mitzvah saseh hey, mitzvah, independent mitzvah saseh daraisa to daven every single day. Shetzivanu la'avdo yisale. It's that we are commanded to serve Hashem. And what does serve Hashem mean? Even though that sounds like a mitzvah koleles, but the Rambam says, like the Gemara says in Tainus Daf Beis, that it is a specific mitzvah to daven every day. The Ramban argues, the Ramban says, I don't think that that's what it's referring to. I think it's a general point. V'gam imeinena mitzvah b'chol yom. Elavadai says the Ramban, kolin yinat fila eina chova klal. It's not a chova, elahu mi midos chesed abori yisparech aleinu. It's a midas a chesed of Hashem, sheshomea v'one b'chol kareinu elav. That he hears us. We daven him and he hears us. V'ikra akasu v'lavdu b'chol avavchem mitzvah zaseh shetia kol avod aseinu l'kel yisparach. Or l'avdu b'chol avavchem just means a general. All our avodah should be focused on Hashem. V'chol avavinu klomar b'kavana ritzuya shlema l'shmo u'be'ein hirhur ra. We should have no negative thoughts. V'lo shen na'aseh ha-mitzvos b'lo kavana o al ha-safek u'la yesh b'hem to'eles. Right, we should do mitzvahs b'kavana and recognize that this is bringing Hashem nachas. Ke'inyin v'yahata Hashem alkecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol modecha. That's the avdo is connected to that pasuk. Sha mitzvah hi lehovat Hashem b'chol lev alev v'shenistakein ba'ahavaso b'nafshenu uv'mamoneinu. And then he continues that maybe a sar is different because that's based on a pasuk in Baloscha. But the Ramban says it's a chesed of Hashem. It's an opportunity that he gives us a daven. That's the chasidic shavart that they quote over. That's in my separatius, in the whole story of the chait, everyone got a punishment. You know, Chava, Isha got a punishment that she has to have pain in childbirth, Be'etzev Tal Dibanim, and Adam got a punishment of Zeyas Apecha Toch Alechem. And what about the Nachash? The Nachash gets a punishment. So says the, what kind of punishment did he have? What, he lost his legs, according to the Medrash? But the Pasuk says, Ofer Tochal Kol Yomei Chayecha. He gets to eat dirt. Why is that such a punishment? Whenever he's hungry, he could take a bite. He could bend down and take a bite. And he always has what he needs. So says the, think of Meir Parmizlana, that's the ultimate punishment. Hashem says, I don't want to have a relationship with you. Just take your dirt and get out of here forever. And that's exactly the opposite of needing rain. And that's the bracha. Vishkisa raglacha gana yarak. Just adding on to what Rashi says on the pasuk, right? It's a bracha. If you look in the Ramban there, the Ramban seems to take this the other way. Upshuto shomikra b'derach asharas ne'amar, says the Ramban. Shamar lahem, ushmartem es kol ha-mitzvah, v'yirishtem osa erez haskalav v'dvash, ki Hashem yitein matar artzachem b'ito, v'oras yitein yivula, avol de'u lachem, she'ena ke'eretz Mitzrayim, lahashko sosa beregel, min ha-yeorimu, min ha-agamim, kigan ha-yarak. Don't think that this is like Egypt, that you could just take water from whatever you want and bring it up to your fields. Raki eretz harim uva kaos. Lemtar shemayim tishne mayim. Lo binyan acher. Vitzricha sheyidrosh Hashem osa tamid b'matar. Ki hi eretz tzmei'a ma'od. Vitzricha matar kol hashana. Right, it's a thirsty land. V'im tavra al ratzon Hashem. V'lo yidrosh osa begishmei ratzon. Hine hi ra'a ma'od. Lo tizra v'lo tatzmiach v'lo yale b'kol esef. Bihareha. V'yachzor, v'yafarish, kolzeh v'parsha shniya, and it's referred to, im shemo tishmu, that's repeated also, that you can't live. You can't live without rain. So it's a serious pasuk. It's saying that there's a relationship, but, you have to do what you can in order to gain God's favor. Okay. So anyway, this is about the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda quotes here. The Gemara quotes to explain Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, a row of yirakos. In a field of yirakos, you need a tefach separation based on the pasuk, v'shkisa raglacha kigan hayarak. So the Gemara says now, taninan hachad Rabbi Yehuda vatinin itaman, ? That's a classic Yerushalmi, right? The Bavli would expand and explain what it's talking about. But here, the Yerushalmi just says, here's Rabbi Yehuda, and there, what are we talking about? So explains the Marafolda. The previous two Mishnayos, we just said Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda we had in the first Mishnah of the Perek, where remember Rabbi Yehuda, the Aruga, Rabbi Yehuda allowed, not like the Tanakama, 5 within a 6x6 tefach field, an aruga, but 6. He allowed even 6. Why 6? So we assume that was because as long as you have a tefach in between, that's why you're able to have 6. That was the end of the first mission. The parak chav dalet amen aleph. Rabbi Yehuda says that one is able to have, say, actually Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was quoted at the top of chav dalet amen beis. Rabbi Yehuda omer, shisha ve'emsa. So we assume now that meant because you can at least still have a tefach in between each one. So why do we have to have in the first Mishnah, the parak, we have Rabbi Yehuda telling us that you can have a tefach in between? And here too, we just learned that Rabbi Yehuda says you can have a tefach by the row of Yerek between Yerakos. So Tanin Hacha Rabbi Yehuda says it here that you need a tefach, Fatinin Taman. And there too, right? So why do you need both Mishnayos for to tell me the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda? So Gemara says, Ilu tanita hacha velo tanita taman. If you only had our Mishnah, you have the one row, and you need the one row, you could have separated by a tefach. Havin and Amrin, I might have said, ma in Rabbi Yehuda dahu machmir hacha. If Rabbi Yehuda, who is machmir here, makel taman, he's makel over there to have 6 and not just 5. Rabbanan de Elain makilin hacha. So the Rabbanan, the other shita in our Mishnah, who's makel here, lokoshke nyakilin taman, surely they would be makel there. And that's what we would have said. If the Rabbanan are makel here, so surely they'll be makel there. Havitzurcha tamastisa taman. That's what we need that earlier Mishnah to tell me, no. Over there, the Rabbanan would say, in the Aruga, only 5, not 6. That's one side. What's difficult about this line is that, according to how we explained our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's makel in our Mishnah. The Rabbanan requires 6 tefach in between, and the Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says only 1 tefach in between. That's why this line, the Mefarshim point out, sounds more like the Rambam than the Rash. in the way that we explain the Mishnah. We explain the Mishnah as what does it mean, Rochav? What is Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva used the lashon of Rochav Milua. We thought that meant the width is like its length, 6 tefach wide. That's difficult to read into this Gemara now. So now let's go with the Rambam's pshat. The Rambam there says the width is like the depth. So if it's like the depth, then it could be. If the depth is less than a tefach, then the width would be less than a tefach. And then Rabbi Akiva would be more makel than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you need a tefach across, period. But according to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara said holds like Rabbi Akiva, would say the same thing about the width. So then there could be cases where Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are more makel than Rabbi Yehuda. Just a less than a tefach wide. So that's how the Gemara seems to say now. So difficult how we read the Gemara if they hold it 6 tefach wide. But again, if it holds like the Rambam that milua rochav kimilua means as wide as the depth, so you can have a case where it's going to be less than a tefach. So that's why the Gemara says you couldn't just have the Mishnah here, but you have to have the Mishnah there to tell me even though the Rabbanan are makel here, possibly makel there, they would be machmer there and only allow 5 in the aruga and not 6. And the other way, oh ilu tanita taman velo tanita hacha. And if you only had that first mishnah and didn't have this mishnah, sahavina and amra, we would have said ma in rabbanan didin machmirina taman. The rabbanan there are machmir; they only allow 5 and not 6. Inun mekilin hacha, and yet they are mekel here. They mekel here to have even less than a tefach, possibly, as we just explained. If the rabbanan who are machmir there are mekel here, so Rabbi Yehuda who mekel taman, Rabbi Yehuda who's mekel there. Well, that was going to have 6. Well, cause you get the Yakel Haka. Surely he would be Makel here. That's why you have to have note to say Rabbi Yehuda Shita here Beferish that he requires at least a Tefach across. Havi Tzorcha Mastisa Haka, Vitzorcha Mastisa Taman. That's why you need both, both Mishnayas to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda says the Shita and the Rabbanan say their Shita in both cases. Good. We continue with the next Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hanoteya Shte Shuros Shel Kishurin. So now, if we plant 2 rows, we're going to see later on that the row here is, each row is 4 amos wide. They're big rows. So if somebody plants 2 rows of Kishurin, this Mishnah is about types of melons or gourds that have a very wide-ranging leaves, as we've said. So sometimes you have wide-ranging leaves, so they have different halachas than the other ones. So anotesh, de shura shel kishur, de shura shel diluin, shel shura shel bala mitzri. If somebody plants 2 rows of gourds, 2 rows of diluin, other types of gourds, and 2 rows of the Egyptian bean, so mutter, that is okay. So it's 8 amos of each one, so that is allowed. But shura shel kishurin, shura shel diluin, shura shel palamitzri aser. But if you have only 1 row, so that would be a problem. That would aser the middle row. That would aser the middle wall because the middle one would be surrounded, would be chavush by the outer ones, and therefore the middle one would be aser. The Bavli, in Masechta Shabbos, seems to say a different reason because it just like it looks like Nirak Irbuf. Not just because it's surrounded, but it looks Irbuf. What's the difference between 2 rows and 1 row? So the Ma'ariv Folder says, Tekal Shtei Shuros Nirus the Bifnei Atzmo. If you have 2 rows, which is 8 amos wide across, that looks like its own field. The Yeshkan Hecker, and it looks separate. The Ein Sarach Talam Lahavsik. You don't need anything in between. Aval Shura Achas Aser, but if you only have 1 row of each, that's Aser. Avagav the Bishar Yerek Mutter, and even though other Yerakos might be Mutter, Kan Aser, here is Aser Levisha Ha'alin Mispashtin Umis Arvim Zu Imzu. Right? These leaves are very wide and they are Mitarev, so therefore these are the rules for these kinds of vegetables. Kishuin, Diluin, and Pola Mitzri. Good. 2 and not 1. Hamitzri, what if you have Shura shel kishurin, Vishura shel diluin, Shura shel pola mitzri, Vishura shel kishuin? What if you have this? You have kishuin, diluin, mitzri, kishuin. You have kishuin on both on the outsides. You have 4. You have 4, and you have 1 row of each, not 2 rows of each. So if you had 1 row of each, we said that the inner one is going to be usser. So what about this case? Kishuin, diluin, pola mitzri, and shura shel kishuin. After that, Reb Elazar matir. Reb Elazar says, in that case, it is mutter. Why is that mutter? Why is that better? V'chacham Moshe v'chacham Zayitz Aser. Why is that better? Look in the Pnei Moshe. And we'll see more about this in the Gemara. So the way that we're going to explain it right now is based on the Pnei Moshe on the Mishnah. Why is that mutter? Dikasava. Why does Rebbe Elazar say that's mutter? Ho'a v'yikash deshura shel kishurin. The two outer ones are kishurin. Even though they're not next to each other, but these two rows, which again we said are four amos each, so you have four amos on each side of Kishuin, you view them as if they're next to each other. You can view it as if this is a Kishuin field, because you have eight amos of Kishuin in this area. And therefore, the Yim Kain, Shura shall diluin, the Shura shall pull a mitzri. It's as if each of the single rows of the other two are planted in a Kishuin field. And all you need, as we said earlier, was one telem, one furrow in between. So that's what the Rabbi Elazar says. You're allowed to view these two outer ones as together. It's a field of Kishuin, and you're good. And the Chum say, no. Chum say, the two Kishurin ones are not next to each other, as the Pnei Moshe continues. Ein shtei shura shel kishurin smucha zu lazu. Lo chashivi kesada shel kishurin. It's not called a kishurin field. Umechzi kekilayim v'yesh kan irbuv. And there's a problem, right? It looks like kilayim, yesh kan irbuv. That is the machlokas, which Baruch Hashem will have to talk more about in the Gemara. Finally, noteya adam kishus v'dalas l'toch gumachas. Right, we referred to this earlier. If somebody has one guma, one hole, a person could be noteya, could put a kishus and dalas, even though we just said those are two that have a lot of leaves. You're allowed to put them both into the same hole, ubilvach te zu notel etzazu, fazu notel etzazu. As long as you put the leaves facing the opposite directions, you put these leaves facing out here, you believe these facing out here. Vinotea ser shozu lakan vishozu lakan. So take out that girso because it's the same exact thing. But either way, you face it opposite from each other. Shekoma sha'asr chachamim lo gazr elam ebnei maris ayin. Because after all that the chacham say is because of the maris ayin. Here it does not look together, and therefore it is mutter. 2 points. Number one, the Chazon Ish says in his commentary in Kilayim that the Mishnah uses the word dafka here, noteya. It doesn't say zoreya. Noteya means it's already, you're planting a sapling. Zoreya means you're putting a seed in the ground. Noteya is that you're planting something that's already grown. You're replanting, so to speak. So says the Chazon Ish, if you were just being Zoreya, Kishus and Dalas in the same hole, it wouldn't work. Because right now it's small, and as it starts growing, the leaves aren't going to be big enough and long enough to push in a certain direction, so it's going to be Kilayim. The only reason it's mutter here is because it's already grown and already has big leaves. So right when you put it in, if you could direct the leaves to the outside and it could already look separate from the first moment, so that's why it's mutter. That's why it's mutter. That's why it says dafka noteya and not zoreya. Number one. Number two is the last line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, after a while, it's mutter because all that the Chachamim say, it's... What do you mean the Chachamim? Why is this Darabanan? We're talking about planting. Isn't this Daraisa? So this is one of the lines where that Kesef Mishnah gets it from. Remember we said the Kesef Mishnah numerous times already, and many Achronim argue on this Kesef Mishnah, but the Kesef Mishnah says the only time Kilai Zoram is Asr if you take two seeds and you plant them together. If you have one and now you're being Somech, another type of growth to it, that's only Darabanan. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says in Perek Dalid, Halacha Tezayin. At the end of that Perek, again, that's how he, V'nirli Atam, B'shut Kim Lul Rabbanan, De Lo'asra Torah, El Kishu Zoreya, Beis Minim Apolos Yad, Ta'achi Avim Hashmaz Tekra, Sadcha Lo Sizra Kilayim, Sizra. And the Rabbanan answered everything else. Fine. Most others argue on that. Most others say, that idea of Mapolos Yad, that's by Kilaya Kerem. That's where the Gemara says Achilia Kerem is you need Mapolas Yad. You have to have two Tvor, two Yirakos with a Kerem seed. But Kilai Zraim, there's many Rayas in the Rambam himself, many Rayas the other way, that even being Somech, two things next to each other, that's also Daraisa. So then the question is, what does this mean? What does this mean here then? What does it mean in the, for Durabana? So if you look in the language of the Reb Chaim Kedievsky, kol ma she'asr chachamim, chachamim lav dafka. Doesn't really mean chachamim. Shekein ma she'asr tor kilayim haniris lamaris ayin irbuvya asra. The Torah asrs it kilayim mitargeminam Erevin, as we've said. So this seems to be, it's not the language is not used, but it seems to be, it is Daraisa. But the Rabbanan are the ones that figure out what's called Irbuv on a Daraisa level. Right, to use the language of the Gemara in two different places, Lo Masra Kasav Ala Chachamim. Most of the time the Rabbanan try to figure out what the Torah meant. But sometimes the Rabbanan themselves, and this is a chiddush of this din, the Rabbanan themselves could create the contours of what the Torah says. The Torah has a certain idea, and the Rabbanan are the ones that create what's included and what's not included. The Gemara says this about Isra Malach on Chalamoid. So Machlokas Rishonim. But there are some Rishonim that say that Isra Malach on Chalamoid is Daraisa. See, if it's Daraisa, how could there be all these built-in heterim? Because the Rabbanan felt that these heterim do not violate what the Torah meant by asering the Isra Malach on Chalamoid. Right? And it comes up... Remember, the Ron quotes this at the beginning of the last parak in Yuma, why a Kala and a Melech are allowed to wash, even if you want to say that all the Inuyim are Daraisa, so how could they wash? So the Rabbanan felt that even on a Torah level, this is not a violation of the Inisim and Nafsho Sechem. You have many of this. Rav Asher Weiss collects a number of these in his Sefer on Dvarim, in Parsha Shoftim, Nimsar Hadavar Lachachamim, which again does not just mean that the Rabbanan are interpreting, but they are creating. They are creating the contours of certain dinim. So there are many other examples, but this seems to be what the Rav Chaim Kanievsky is driving at here, that when it says Kol Machshavos HaChachamim, it's the Chachamim interpreting what the Torah meant, and therefore as long as you have the leaves facing the separate ways, that would be enough to not violate the Daraisa. Okay, we will stop here.